This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Thursday, October 6th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll hear why a Denver church is hosting a Palestinian festival this weekend. This time on the Cannabis Report, marijuana reporter Leland Rucker discusses the lack of legal places to consume marijuana in public, 10 years after Colorado voters passed an initiative to treat marijuana like alcohol. Then, I'll slide into John Lindorf's seat at the kitchen table to chat with folks from Nude Foods Market, Boulder's zero-waste grocery store. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour. After that comes the Hightower Lowdown. And then we'll keep the feast going with KGNU's Kitchen Table Talk. Today, Chef Daniel Asher will be discussing bone broth, regenerative agriculture, and ranching with a lineup of special guests. At 9:30, Dee Ryder will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead this morning, but first, the headlines with KGNU's Claire Purnell.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, announced yesterday a $3.2 million research grant to support national water reuse efforts in Colorado. The research grant will go to Colorado's Water Research Foundation, or WRF, which plans to use wastewater-based epidemiology and surveillance to reduce chemical health risks. Chris Frey, Assistant Administrator for EPA's Office of Research and Development, stated in a press release, "The research projects will help advance water reuse and applications so communities, local and state governments, and tribes can provide alternatives to existing water resources." The Colorado.gov state web portal homepage was taken offline yesterday. The governor's Office of Information Technology says a coordinated cyber attack is responsible. An anonymous suspected foreign actor allegedly took responsibility for targeting multiple state government services and websites across the United States, according to a press release. As of this morning, the official homepage of the state government remains offline, but a substitute page with shortcut links to most common resources is now available at the Colorado.gov domain. While the Colorado.gov state web portal is offline, all other state of Colorado websites and essential state government services are online and available. Boulder police have arrested a 19-year-old fraternity member in relation to a sexual assault reported in August. The arrest affidavit reports that Ethan Hirsch sexually assaulted a woman he had known since the 7th grade on the morning of August 18, 2022. The victim told police that she went to the Kappa Sigma fraternity house at 2 a.m. She told police she and her friend were drinking and listening to music when Hirsch joined them. The victim told officers she has no memory of entering Hirsch's room, but recalls a hand placed around her neck and being thrown down and waking up in the morning. According to the affidavit, the woman's friend sent her text messages to check up on her. Hirsch later told her fraternity brother that he responded to the friend, saying she was good. According to the Daily Camera, one Kappa Sigma fraternity brother reached out to law enforcement on August 28th, saying Hirsch couldn't keep a straight story and thinks he was lying about the incident. Hirsch is not currently enrolled on the CU Boulder campus. He was arrested this week on suspicion of sexual assault and posted a $1,000 cash option to his $10,000 secure bond, according to online court records. Boulder police responded to a report of a suspect stealing a Boulder fire rescue truck this weekend while the fire rescue personnel were responding to a medical call nearby. Around 1 a.m. Sunday, according to the Daily Camera, they saw the truck moving down the street. One firefighter jumped in, pulled the emergency brake, and then detained 28-year-old Kirill A. Kiefel until police arrived. They charged the suspect of second-degree aggravated motor vehicle theft and a felony parole for violation of robbery. The Sand Creek Massacre National Historic Site was approved for expansion. KGNU's Jimmy Searfoss has more.
Federal officials announced Wednesday that the Department of Interior and National Park Services has acquired nearly 3,500 acres of land to expand the Sand Creek Massacre National Historic Site. The site commemorates the lives of over 230 Cheyenne and Arapaho murdered by U.S. soldiers on November 29th of 1864. Over half of the dead were women and children. The announcement of the expansion of the site came at a ceremony attended by Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland, National Park Service Director Chuck Sams, Colorado Senators Michael Bennett and John Hinkleloper, and Lieutenant Governor Diane Primavera. Site Superintendent Janet Frederick said the newly acquired land has significant archaeological remains of the massacre, including evidence of the village where the Cheyenne and Arapaho families were camped, and the intact viewshed that is the key to the historical integrity of the National Historic Site. The Sand Creek Massacre was a defining moment in the decades-long U.S. government-backed campaign to violently displace Native people from their homelands in Colorado. For KGNU, this is Jimmy Searfoss.
Clear Creek County will create a mental health team following a police shooting that killed a 22-year-old man in June. Luis Lincoln reports.
On Wednesday, Clear Creek Sheriff's Office announced at a press conference that they would partner with the county commissioners to create a team to help with mental health calls. Many cities have implemented this team in their police force, including the Denver Police Department. Christian Glass, the man that was killed, called 911 after he crashed his car while experiencing paranoia. After police arrived on the scene, officers instructed Glass to get out of the vehicle for an hour, but Glass refused, saying that he was afraid. Police then tased and shot Glass, killing him. Clear Creek County considered adding a mental health crisis team in 2020, but county officials failed to create it, despite a grand jury recommendation. Siddhartha Rathod, the attorney representing the Glass family, said that if the county had created the team earlier, Christian would have been alive. According to Rathod, the officers involved in the shooting still work for the department. For KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
Expect mostly sunny weather today with light and variable wind in the evening. In Boulder, a high of 69 and a low of 43. In Denver, a high of 72 and a low of 44. In Fort Collins, a high of 69 and a low of 42. For KGNU, I'm Claire Purnell.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. The South Broadway Christian Church in Denver will host a festival of Palestinian culture, history, and food this Saturday. KGNU's Jim Nelson got the details from retired minister Jeff Wright.
It's a family festival we're titling Together for Palestine, Justice, History, and Culture. And so we're really trying to cover all three bases. We're pretty excited because it's going to be held at South Broadway Christian Church, which is on Lincoln Street in the South Broadway area of Denver, from 11 to 5 p.m. So people can drop in throughout the day. There'll be different speakers that will each talk very briefly about the situation that's going on in Palestine, Israel. The main features, we think, is the mini museum that we're providing in one of the big open spaces at South Broadway Christian Church, where people can see ancient pottery, jewelry that's been made by Palestinians, you know, old jewelry, needlework, olive wood, those kinds of things that are really pretty interesting to get to the cultural piece. There'll also be people that are talking to that cultural piece.
Being a minister or a retired minister, how did you become involved in the Palestinian issue, which is from the perspective of supporting Palestinians, which is not a common cause for pastors?
Unfortunately, it's not a common cause, but I think a lot of that is out of ignorance. And then a big chunk of it, too, for the very conservative evangelicals. I don't want to put them all in the same boat, because many evangelicals now are starting to deal with the justice issue, not only the many justice issues that are consuming the indigenous and Black Lives Matter and those kinds of things in the States, but around the globe as well. But our Christian Church Disciples of Christ has always been on the forefront of the justice issues. We marched with our Jewish friends in the South to work for the civil rights there. Our own involvement came when I had a sabbatical in 1998. I went to Palestine. And I thought we had, when I first went, I thought, oh my goodness, we have a very anti-Semitic missionary there that I'm working with. And I was completely oblivious to what was going on. And she really did help me through the book she lent to me and the other kind of conversations to realize, oh, there's a big problem here. And it's Israel, it's the Zionist move to take all of the land from the Palestinians. And that was back in 98. And the situation, of course, has gotten worse since then. And I realized that we really had somebody there that was on the front line working for justice. That's how I got involved. And then let me just say, though, my wife, is a mental health therapist. She's a licensed clinical social worker. And we went back and she's done trainings there with the therapists, Arab and Christian therapists in Palestine, and treating them with in not only treating them, but also training them in EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, that deals with trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Jeff Wright, can you again mention the name of the event and the location in Denver and the times also?
It's Together for Palestine. Justice, History, and Culture is the name of the free family festival. There'll be free parking at the church at South Broadway Christian Church on Lincoln Street. It's 23 Lincoln Street there in Denver. Palestinian food. There'll be Palestinian music. There's a Bedouin tent that'll be set up for pictures and just for exploring, face painting, you name it. It's just a pretty broad kind of experience that we're really hoping folks in the neighborhood, but from all over Metro Denver, will come to South Broadway Christian Church. It's from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Jim, can I mention just one of the speakers? One of the speakers that's coming is Jonathan Kitab. And Jonathan is an international human rights attorney who helped start one of those six organizations in Israel, in Palestine, that have been designated over the past year as terrorist organizations in Palestine. It's Al Haq. He was one of the co-founders of that, as well as a co-founder of Nonviolence International. But, you know, the United States has asked for that information. The EU has asked for them to prove that they're terrorist organizations, and they've not, Israel's not been able to do that. They're organizations that are getting out the information about what's really happening in Palestine and Israel. So we're really pleased to have him along with some other pretty significant speakers throughout the afternoon. There are 18 different organizations from left to right on the political spectrum, church organizations and others. And I don't want to leave out Jewish Voice for Peace. They're one of the sponsors of this. It's really quite a wide coalition that we think we'll hope to keep together after the event to work on different issues throughout Colorado.
Jeff Wright, retired minister with the Church of the Disciples of Christ. Thank you for joining me today. For KGNU, this is Jim Nelson.
And now it's time for the Cannabis Report here on KGNU Community Radio. I'm Hannah Lee Myers, and as always, I'm joined by longtime cannabis correspondent Leland Rucker. Leland, thanks so much for being here.
Always good.
Okay, so this morning we're going to talk about something that has been on everyone's mind since cannabis was legalized in 2012. Consumption. It's supposed to be treated like alcohol, and you can drink alcohol in a bar. Can't really use cannabis the same way, but it's supposed to be the same. Leland, can you shed some light on this for us? Where are we now that we're like 10 years later on this one?
Yeah, we're almost 10 years into this. And, you know, there's a few places in Denver that allow use under certain conditions. You know, it is the where the International Church of Marijuana is, for goodness sake. And there's cannabis cooking and growing classes. There's glass blowing demonstrations, yoga, painting, massage. They use cannabis-infused oils in massage and techniques. You can rent a limousine or a bicycle to visit dispensaries or create your own walking tour. You could do these things. But still, it's always been a problem for tourists. I mean, tourists, you know, it's less of a problem now because there's more states that are legal. But tourists would come, buy some cannabis, and there's nowhere to use it unless they have a hotel where they're staying that allows it, or that you know somebody here and you can go to their home. And on January 1st, 2020, the city of Denver made it easier to create consumption lounges in interesting ways. There was a law passed, and it was almost just begging for entrepreneurs to step up and do something. And so far, not much has happened. I'm not exactly sure why, but not a lot has happened. The city of Denver also recently approved marijuana hospitality license for Colorado Cannabis Tours. And according to the Denver Post, the tour company still has several more requirements to meet before they can actually allow people to use it on their buses, but they're able to host pot-friendly classes and parties at the headquarters. And that's what founder Michael Eimer says. You know, from the beginning, Colorado Cannabis Tours, the whole idea was taking customers on tours of dispensaries, cultivations, extraction facilities. I remember being on one of those tours early on. It was really fun just sitting in a bus and smoking dope while driving around to facilities around town, and the driver always had to be cordoned off so that they were in a completely different space. And that law changed, and they're, you know, they don't allow that anymore, but that may soon change again.
I do think it's odd, though, that we had buses driving around with people using cannabis on it before we have something like a bar. You know, it seems like that would be an easy, treat marijuana like alcohol as part of Amendment 64, that would be the easy first step, right? To try to open cannabis lounges that are equivalent to like a bar. But no, we have buses driving around with people's first.
That's and that only lasted about a year. And the city of Denver put a stop to that. Now, you know, the city of Boulder is grappling with this issue as well. The city's Cannabis Licensing and Advisory Board has been taking input over the last year. And some of the recommendations, according to the Daily Camera, are limiting the hours of operation to no later than 10 p.m., requiring smaller doses of edibles, requesting the customers sign a pre-entrance waiver that includes a transportation plan, and restricting entry to those 25 or older. That last one's kind of sticky. It's based around the concept that the young brain doesn't develop until the late 20s. I understand that. And I can see why we have to start thinking ahead. You know, when alcohol was restored again, we didn't think about it at all. We just opened places up and that was it. So I appreciate the fact that people are trying to think about that. But limiting the access to people over 25 could drive younger people to alcohol bars. Yeah, the city of Boulder once embraced its hippie heritage. You know, it really did. You know, where the hip meet the trip. That was a Newsweek story back in the 1970s. But city's not very kind to marijuana. At best, it's done the least it can, even with the extra money that marijuana taxes bring to the city. It just goes into the general fund. Nobody knows exactly what happens there. And back when the rules were created, the city had no experience with marijuana. Neither did the state, neither did anybody. And they created a few rules that went even beyond the states. That's how bad Boulder was about that. A lot of those had to be brought back a couple of years later because they were just too, you know, just too much, you know, and the state was trying to do the same thing and the city just didn't believe it and wanted to do it on its own. I remember during one city council meeting, a city attorney saying that the physical barrier between recreational and medical facilities was for bookkeeping purposes. Oh, boy. So these are just recommendations at this point. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of back and forth from the city council before any decision is made. And it should be interesting to see how long it takes for the city to get this together. I'm predicting years.
So interesting. And like we said earlier on, 10 years on and still very much grappling with even trying to get like a bar or lounge open in a, well, like you said, a hippie friendly place like Boulder. That says a lot.
Just to have a place, you know, Amendment 64, it says treat marijuana like alcohol. And that's the one place where the state just hasn't, no state actually has been able to figure it out.
Yeah. And being able to do that would certainly go a long way to address some of the stigma that causes so much issue. So thank you for keeping us in the loop with all of that, Leland. And we'll catch you next time. And you can catch the Cannabis Report here on KGNU the first and third Thursday of every month. Thanks so much, Leland.
Thank you.
For KGNU, I'm Hanley Myers.
It's time for Radio Nibbles. Usually I'd be introducing John Lindorf, food editor of the Boulder Weekly at this moment, but he's unable to join us this week. But I do have two guests with me in the studio, Vera T. Noble and Rachel Irons with Nude Foods Market. Good morning.
Morning.
For listeners who may be unfamiliar with Nude Foods Market, let folks know what it does and why it's a one-of-a-kind business model in Boulder.
So Nude Foods Market is just like a normal grocery store, but without any single-use packaging. when you walk in, you actually get to see all of the food on display because it's all in beautiful reusable glass jars. You get to shop just like normal. You don't have to do anything special except for when you're done, next time you shop, you bring in all your empties and then we wash them and refill them for you. So it's super easy, super convenient, doesn't take any extra time, but you avoid all that normal trash and packaging and plastic that you get at traditional grocery stores.
And Nude Foods has been open for as a storefront grocery store for almost a year now. And to mark the one-year occasion, you have an event coming up. Verity, tell us about it.
We do. Tomorrow afternoon, we have Nude Foods Fest. And it's going to be a little bit like a mini farmer's market, with vendors giving out free samples. We'll be selling meals from Nude Foods Market. You'll be able to shop in store. And most excitingly, we'll also be doing a few zero-waste initiatives, including a Halloween costume swap. So you can bring your old Halloween costumes. You can pick up a new one. You don't even have to bring one if you don't have one. We have lots already available for people to take. We're then collecting some hard-to-recycle materials, including e-waste, so think like phones, iPads, etc., batteries, cables and wire, printer cartridges, stretchy plastic bags, so anything you can kind of poke your finger through, and some textiles. And then we're also working with WeCycle to collect some gently used baby gear, and we have a full list on the event page of what you can bring in.
Ooh, where is that event page?
That event page is on Eventbrite, but actually if you just go to nudefoodsmarket.com, it'll pop right up and you can click on the pop-up and it'll take you through to the event page where you register. And if you register in advance, you actually get 10% off in the store tomorrow.
Okay. Well, you mentioned what's going to be there. Who all is going to be there? For example, Tabaline, how big of an event is this going to be and who will be attending?
We have over 30 vendors coming, so it's going to be a pretty big event. We already have almost 400 people signed up, so it's going to be pretty crazy. We also have Jeff and Paige, kids entertainers, yes, from Boulder, who we absolutely love. So we're going to have people like Wild Monkey Bar, which is a local Boulder maker of these delicious chocolate-covered granola cashew cream bars. They're incredible. We will have Hempway Foods, who do hemp burgers. We have beet burgers from I Love Heartbeats. We have chocolate from Dar Chocolate. We have, who else, Rachel? Can you think of other people?
Yeah, we'll be selling food as well. So we have momos from Cheery's Momos. We'll be having some of our own food on display. We make a lot of prepared foods in zero waste, which is cool because you normally can never get that type of thing without the single-use packaging. And so you'll be able to try some of our meals that we have every week. We'll have soups, curry, some tempeh wraps that are everyone's favorite.
Okay.
So tons to try, and then full meals to buy as well.
Well, see, that's news to me. I didn't know you did prepared food. And yeah. I pass by Nude Foods every day because it's right down the street from KGNU, but let listeners know where you're located.
We are at 32nd and Walnut, literally just a stone's throw from from Twisted Pine, from Michael's. I mean, 2 minutes from the big Whole Foods. So just drive straight past them and come see us instead.
Okay. Well, we are in the final minutes of Radio Nibbles, but something I did want to ask about. You mentioned Halloween costumes.
Yes.
There's another piece of waste from Halloween that you collected last year, and I'm really curious what you did with it. Candy wrappers. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. So yes, this was one of the most popular things we've ever done. We had people coming in months later saying, hey, you're still collecting candy wrappers. So we got a box from TerraCycle, which you pay for, and then you can stuff it as full as possible with candy wrappers, and then you send it back to them and they recycle them.
Do you know what they do with them?
Actually, I don't know what they do with them. I would like to do more research into that.
Yes, indeed. Well, we usually end Radio Nibbles with John asking his guest, what's the best thing you've had to eat lately? So how about you? First, Rachel Irons of Nude Foods Market, tell me.
So I mentioned we do meals every week. And last week we did falafel with this amazing tahini sauce. And I ate that all week long. It was amazing.
All right. How about you, Verity?
I pretty much live off Nude Foods tempeh wraps. They are my favorite thing, and we sell out every time we get them in stock. So we have to take them to the farmer's market, and we'll have them at the event tomorrow.
Okay, well, that sounds delicious, and it sounds eventful, and tell listeners one last time where they can find this event and what time and when.
The event starts tomorrow at 3:45 and it goes till 7 p.m. It's at 3233 Walnut Street, which is just by Twisted Pine, ABC Climbing, and just opposite Michael's.
Okay. My guests today have been Verity Noble and Rachel Irons of Nude Foods Market. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Claire Purnell, Luis Licon, Jimmy Searfoss, Alexis Kenyon, Jem Nelson, Hannah Lee Myers, Leland Rucker, and our guests, Verity Noble and Rachel Irons. If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave us a voicemail at 303-447-9911. We play those messages back Tuesdays during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for KGNU's Kitchen Table Talk with Chef Daniel Asher. That's after the headlines from the BBC and the Hightower Lowdown.